She shouldn't be thinking about anything except getting this right, and that's partly why she does it. Stops her thinking, if she concentrates sufficiently. She is increasingly of the opinion that worrying about problems doesn't help solve them, but she hasn't really found an alternative yet. Surely you can't just leave them there. And this morning she has a big one, or several, because she's due soon for the meeting with Stone Street and Dorothea to see Heinze's latest stab at the logo, to tell them whether it works or not, per her contract. She wants to go in there, the hot little knot of rage at her core is telling her, wearing the Buzz Rixons with the tape on the shoulder, which is starting to curl at the edges, so that Dorothea will know that she hasn't simply neglected to notice the damage. But she won't say anything. Then, when Dorothea produces the logo rethink, which Case imagines will almost certainly work for her, as Heinze is nothing if not very good, she'll wait a beat or two and then shake her head. And Dorothea will know then that Case is lying, but she won't be able to do anything about it. And then Case will leave and go back to Damien's and pack her things, go to Heathrow and get on the next business class flight with her return ticket to New York. And probably blow the contract, a big one, and have to hustle very hard indeed in New York, finding fresh work. But she'll be free of Big End and Dorothea, and Stone Street too, and all of the weird baggage that seems to come with them. Mirror World will get put back into its box until the next time, hopefully a vacation, and when Damien is here, and she will never have to worry about Dorothea or Asian sluts or any of it ever again. Except that that would mean that she'd lied to a client firm, and she really doesn't want to do that, aside from knowing that it's a ridiculous, infantile plan anyway. She'll lose the contract, probably do herself grave professional harm, and all for the sake of pissing Dorothea off, and what a pleasure that would be. Makes no sense, except to the knot. Now she's sitting cross-legged, doing Sphinx, springs lightened, turns her hands palm up for beseech. No thinking. You do not get there by thinking about not thinking, but by concentrating on each repetition. To the gentle twanging of the springs. She's made certain the driver gets her to Blue Ant early. She wants her own little bit of time in the street, her own paper cup of coffee. Soho on a Monday morning has its own peculiar energy. She wants to tap into that for a few minutes. Buys her coffee now and heads off, away from Blue Ant, trying to fit her pace to the pace of these people on their way to work, with most of whom she feels she has some passing affinity. They earn their living distinguishing degrees and directions of attractiveness, and she envies the youth and determination with which they all seem to be getting to it. Was she ever like that? Not exactly, she thinks. She got her start out of college, working with the design team of a Seattle-based mountain bike manufacturer, and had branched out into skatewear, then shoes. Her talents, which Big N calls her tame pathologies, had carried her along, and gradually she'd let them define the nature of what it was that she did. She'd thought of that as going with the flow, but maybe, she thinks now, it had really been the path of least resistance. What if that flow naturally tended to the path of least resistance? Where does that take you?